Well, today is going to be the third installment in a series that we've been going through the scriptures, looking at the lives of believers, beginning with the father of faith, Abraham, and talking about blessing. And we started this series by asking a question: how much do you desire the blessing of God in your life? Now, for Abraham, we saw in the first message that he had to be willing to leave his country, his society, his family, and his own father's house. He had to leave and to go out in order to receive the blessing of God. And it says that he left. He went to follow God. Now, as God began to bless him, and God had finally given to him the blessing that he wanted, which was a descendant, an heir, God said, "Take your son Isaac and go up and sacrifice him." And we saw how this is in our own lives, that when God gives us a blessing, the reason for the blessing that he gives to us is so that we can be a blessing to someone else. Now, it was through Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed. And we see the nations of the world blessed because of what God did through the seed of Abraham. And ultimately, that seed came down in the form to us in Jesus Christ. And we know that in Christ, we have life. And all nations are blessed because of him. And so the word goes out to every tongue, to every tribe, to every nation, that they can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the heir that came through the seed of Abraham. But it was because Abraham was willing to even sacrifice the blessing of his son Isaac that this blessing could flow out. And in our lives, it's not just enough to leave to follow God. It's not just leaving our lives to follow God. It's being willing, as God begins to bless us, to take those blessings and sacrifice them back to him. Because if you don't do that in your life, if you don't take of the blessings and put them into God's hands for him to use, they die on the vine. The blessing ends up becoming a curse. So God blesses you with, let's say, economic wealth. And if you start taking that wealth and saying, "Look what my hand has gotten for me," instead of acknowledging the blessing of God, the blessing of wealth becomes a tremendous curse because you fail to give it back to God. So everything in life has a dedication unto God that we must have. Now, God says there are certain things that we should be doing in order to receive blessings. He gives us very clear instruction about what to do and how to transform our lives from one of being cursed to one of being blessed. And so we're going to begin to look at that today. And we're going to start today in Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. Hey, Scott, can you turn the lights up a little bit? Can they get any brighter? Is this it today? Brighter. Genesis 26, let's begin in verse 1. "There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.' So Isaac dwelt in Gerar." So here's a very interesting contrast now. As God begins to work with Isaac, Abraham lived to be 175 years old. And Isaac now is beginning a walk in relationship with Almighty God. And here God is saying, "Don't leave. Don't go away. Stay where you are, because I'm going to begin to bless you right here." Now, it was common in days when you had famines, right? You went to the cities. Remember, even the children of Israel later, the reason they went to Egypt was that's where the food was. They had to go where there were supplies. So when famines hit, you went to where there was populations where food and imports could be gathered together and food could be sought. So here he is told not to go into Egypt, that God would bless him right there in the land where there is famine. Now again, notice that when we see things in our own mind's eyes and our own circumstances, sometimes we can look and say, this is what seems logical. This is what makes sense. There's a famine in the land. There's not enough food. This isn't a good place for me to be. I'm going to go somewhere else. But really, before you make big decisions in your life about moving or not moving, in whatever you do, you need to pray. You need to ask God, God, where do you want me to be? Because there might be ways that God will bless you in what you will do that He wants you to do right where you are. It might be a place where God wants you to be. And even though you look at it and say, this doesn't look like the right place, maybe it is exactly the place God wants you to be for what He wants you to do. So whether you go or don't go, make sure that you're convinced in your heart before God and not just what you see with your own eyes. So Isaac gets the direction from God. He's not going to Egypt. Now notice here, dropping down to verse 12, what begins to happen. So then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. In a time of famine, he reaps a hundredfold and the Lord blessed him. Now notice this, I love this verse. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. It's like, let's make the point. I mean, that's a great verse, isn't it? It's like, he blessed him to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. And the Philistines envied him, which creates problems. But what Isaac had going was that he obeyed God's voice and God determined to bless him. Now, here's the thing about blessing. And the reason I started with the question, how desperately do you want God's blessing in your life? It's this. In the midst of famine, in the midst of heartache and financial problems and whatever it is, when God determines to bless you, there's no circumstance that stops him. So we should see this, and it should create a hunger and a desire and a yearning for God's blessing in our lives. See, there's a heart that has to be sought here. How do you seek for God's blessing in your life? Are you seeking His will? Are you seeking to know where you should be and what you should be doing? See, Jacob was told to stay there, and God said He was going to bless him right there where he was. But notice what it says in verse 12. Isaac sowed in the land. So when God said, I'm going to bless you there, he didn't just sit back and say, well, let's see what God's going to do. He started doing something that was blessable. Now, this is an important part of the equation, because the work is not all yours and the work is not all God's in the way He works with you in your life. It's working together. You are laboring with the Lord to have blessing. You give something to God to bless. God wants something to bless. But part of the work that He's doing in your life and in my life is to get us working in a way that He wants us to work. Because ultimately, what is He doing? He's bringing us unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's working something out in us that's according to His will, forming us and shaping us, but it's together. God could do it all. He doesn't want to do it all without you. He wants you involved in the process. God could put the gospel out to everybody right now. It's very easy. This isn't a problem for God, but the way God is working it out is He wants to do it through people. You are God's messengers. You are God's servants being called to continue to bring forth a message unto other people, to bring blessing to others. So when you look at your life, do you see it as before God desperate for his blessing, so that as you start to work, you know you're working in his will. Right? Unless the Lord builds the house, the weary builders toil in vain. But it says in 1 Corinthians 15, know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you're laboring with the Lord, it's not in vain. So you want to have this blessing. I hope I can communicate to you and just ask the Spirit to pour upon you, just a heart of yearning for God that is so deep that you don't want to be doing anything that is outside of His will, anything that is by human reason, anything that is by human wisdom, because that is not the way to go. It is only when we turn our hearts over to God and say, I need you, God, to bless me, to come into my life, to show me the path, to show me the way that you can bless. That is where we need to be. And everything in our lives, from the basis moment of our thought, should be, how, God, do I need to go that you can bless me? Because anything apart from that, what does it mean? It's just dust in the wind. It just blows away. So, seek God. Have passion for God. To know God. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want you to grab on to these verses and just let them sink in and understand the passion with which God is making an offer to His people here. Because though the terms and conditions have somewhat changed, the heart of what is happening here in Deuteronomy 30 is the same today. It's the same today if we will hear His voice. Notice in Deuteronomy 30, beginning here in verse 14, famous verse quoted in Romans 10, right? But the word is near, very near to you, right? It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it, right? So, we heard that in the preaching in Romans from the Apostle Paul. Now notice here in verse 15, it says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Now, why did God say to Isaac that he was being blessed? What did He say the reason was? Who remembers? We just read it in Genesis 26.
His father, Abraham.
Yes? Yes. He said, I bless you because your father, Abraham, obeyed me. He kept my commandments. He obeyed my voice. He kept my charge. Right? He had a trust to follow after God that allowed God to bless him. So when we read this here, he's saying, I've set before you this in that I command you to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. So the question is, if you aren't doing that, can you live and multiply? Can you be blessed if you're not doing things that lead to blessing? Now, you might think this is a very simple question. Maybe the answer seems very obvious. But I want you to think about human life and how often we seek for blessing in ways that aren't blessable. We want to do well in ways that can't be blessed. People struggle trying to find the right way in doing things that are wrong. I had a couple come to me many years ago, and they said, we want your counsel. We're going to get divorced. They have kids, and they were determined to get divorced, and they wanted to do it in a good way, in a way that would be fair between the husband and the wife and with the kids and everything that's going on. And I said, you know, I appreciate that you are trying to do this the right way, but what you're trying to do is legislate something that should never happen. The problem is that you're trying to make something work smoothly that's a design disaster. Because the way that you're going about your lives at this moment in wanting to separate and divorce will hurt you, will hurt your children, will make it messy. Because the fact is, when a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, the two become one flesh. And friends, if you ever have kids in that relationship, it's virtually impossible to separate that fact. Because the lines keep going down. The oneness is created, and the children are the fruit of that oneness. How do you separate that in an amicable way? How do you make godly an ungodly decision? How do you bless what God is against? Do you understand? It's so hard. And I said, I can't give you the right way to make this pain-free. There is no pain-free. God says divorce is violence. It's violence. Malachi says it is a violent act because you're ripping apart what God put together, and there's no nice way to go about it. Our world keeps trying to do that. How can we have the pretty divorce? How can we have the pretty thing where we reject God's word and go about and have it all work out just fine? Now look, I know some of you have gone through divorces or been through product of divorce. Look, divorce does happen. Sometimes you have a non-believing spouse, and it is a very painful thing. It's a very hurtful thing. And I want you to know that if you've been through divorce, God is the healer that you go to. But when He shows you the right way to live, you have to go on that way. So now I want you to think about this in terms of obeying God's voice and obeying God's commandments. Can anybody think of any instruction? And I want to see hands. Any instruction in the Bible that says how to go about choosing a right person to be joined to in life? Any right instruction? Yes, Stephen. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So, great point. If you get married and you are a believer before God and you marry somebody who doesn't even acknowledge God, what are you setting yourself up for? Misery. Failure, because God said, don't be unequally yoked together. When you make a willing choice, how can you ask God to bless that relationship? When God Himself says, don't be unequally yoked, a believer with an unbeliever. You understand? You're setting yourself up for failure. Young people, you're going to be coming to the age where you're looking to get married or find somebody. If you find somebody that you think is good looking or, you know, desirable to be with, you like their personality, but they don't have faith in God, and you do, why would you even think of joining that together? Right? You're setting yourself up for pain. And you may not see it, but God reveals it to be the case. So you're setting yourself up for failure and heartache and misery. So much has to come down to your faith. What else? What else does God say?
Between a man and a woman.
Right? He said a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. There is a relationship that God made for there to be a relationship that can be blessed, that there can be multiplication, that there can be children born through it. If you try to put together relationships that God didn't design, you're basically flying in the face of what He's ordained. So, again, there's instruction in God's Word about how to do things. So this is important because what God is saying is, I am setting before you this day life and death, good and evil. But in order to be blessed, there is a way that we have to walk to receive the blessing. And what I want you to let sink in is, if I'm doing something contrary to what God is teaching, I can't expect blessing. Quit believing the lie that the world tells you that somehow you can reject God and still be blessed. It's a house of cards and it's ready to fall. You can look very prosperous and not have any wealth at all. We do it all the time in this society. You can look very prosperous and not be wealthy at all. And again, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? It profits him nothing. So now notice verse 17. So if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today, you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go into possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Okay, now notice that. Heaven and earth serves as a witness today against you that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Blessing, life, and good is something you can choose. You realize that when the revelation of God comes to us, what the revelation of God is really about is opening up your mind to see the truth so that now you can make a choice. You see, when you're in deception, you don't know. You might say, man, my life really stinks. It keeps going down these ways that seem cursed and against God. You know, I'm arguing with my wife all the time. I'm fighting with the kids. I'm having a terrible time at work. I can't seem to, you know, keep employed, or I'm not doing the right things in life. And there can be fruit of it along the way that can wake you up. But ultimately, God has to shine the light of truth and say, there's a better way. But now when He shows the better way, it's up to you then to choose. Blessing, cursing, life, or death. So how do you begin to have the blessings of God in your life? By choosing the way that leads to blessing. It's a choice. Do you want to be blessed in your life? Do you want to have God involved in it in ways that He can bless? How successful would it be if I said, you know, I have a scheme to get rich. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get a couple buddies and we're going to go down and we're going to go into the Wells Fargo and we're going to rob it at gunpoint. How effective do you think it would be if the three of us got down on our knees and started beseeching, God, help us, protect us and keep us safe that we don't get shot. May it go smoothly. May we have Godspeed to get in and out of the bank as fast as humanly possible. And may we rob and steal and not hurt too many people. I mean, what if you were to say that prayer? Would it be just an abomination to God? Would He listen to that prayer? But you see, people make these kind of prayers all the time. Right? Owe no one anything except to love one another. But people will go into such debt and then want God to bless them out of it, but they keep living in a way that's debt-driven. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we can live in ways that we want God to bless us, but we're not going the way that's blessable. So when you look at God's law, understand it's not about just a list of rules, but it is a path which God says, this is a way that I can bless. If you are loving and not murdering, right? If you're giving and not stealing, if you have faithfulness in your relationships and are not adulterous, if you love and serve God and you're not going after other gods, that's a way I can bless. I'm all behind it. When you have a heart for God, God has a heart for you. When you look at His ways and trust in Him, He says, I can work with this. I can get behind this. I can bless this. God wants to bless us desperately. But understand, God lets you choose. If you say, I'm going to ignore my parents' counsel about marriage. I'm going to ignore my parents' counsel about work, education, about how to live, about how to walk, about humility. I'm going to ignore God's counsel about these things. Where do you stand? See, parents, we can offer it forward, but it's still our children are going to have to choose. They will still make a choice. God offers it to us, and you know what He says? Choose. But He says, I call heaven and earth as a witness to what I'm offering you. When God comes into your life, He offers you the blessing. But you have to choose it. So if you look at life and say, nah, I don't like that way, it's not going to be blessed. Isaac, when he was told to stay, he stayed. And you know what he did? He sowed. He gave God something to bless. Proverbs says, don't be lazy. Look to the ant, you sluggard, right? Who needs no master or overseer, gets himself up, goes out and does the work, collects in the summer for winter. Doesn't need anybody to tell him. But if Isaac had just been saying, well, I'll just let God do what he wants to do. And he sat in his house and said, well, God's going to bless me. And he's just sitting in the house doing nothing. And the field that God gave him was out there in that land. And the seed sitting in the barn waiting to be planted. But he never went and sowed it. How's the increase going to come forward? You see, God wants you to labor with him in this by choosing to follow his instruction. Friends, this book, we take it so for granted in this society. Do you realize everything you need is right here? Every instruction, every way to walk is in this book. All the principles to be successful and to be blessed in every area of life are right here. This book is worth more than gold or silver. Because it shows you how to gain gold and silver, how to gain strength, how to gain things in life of character that are more important than the things of this world. It's about developing you in the image of Jesus Christ. It's all in here. And what you find out as you begin to walk in a way of blessing, that whether you have wealth or not, it doesn't even matter. Whether you have physical gold or not doesn't matter. But whether you have spiritual treasure in heaven, that's where it really is. Because ultimately, that is where we end up. So, will you choose blessing? Will you choose blessing in God? Now, notice this. Verse 19 says, therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Now, notice how we do this. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and your length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. So again, I said, I want you to feel the passion with which God is commanding us. He didn't just say, follow the rules. He says, love the Lord your God. Obey his voice, that you may cling to him. So I want you to think about, what does that mean? That he says, love him, obey him, that you may cling to him. I want you to think that about God in the way he lives. Does God ever deviate from being God? Is God ever ungodly? Is the righteous one ever unrighteous? Is the loving one ever selfish? So when you think about life and loving a God who loves, who is righteous, who is just, who is generous and wanting to bless you and do good, he's saying, I want you to cling to me. It implies that there is a walk together, there is a life together with God. Do you want to be blessed? This is where it begins. To say that if I'm not clinging to you and loving you and obeying you, walking in the way that you do, I'm not going to be blessed. You have to believe that truth. That in a way of walking with God, you will be blessed. But that when you decide, you know what, God? I don't like clinging to you right now because the way I see it, I should go do this. We leave God behind. God will let us make that choice, friends. He will let us make that choice. He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. But in 2 Chronicles 14, he says, but if you forsake me, he says, I'll forsake you. Did you know that God says that? He says, if you forsake me, I'll forsake you. But if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. That's a choice then, isn't it? So do you realize how desperate we need to be before God in seeking blessing, to be desperate for him to draw us near? That he gives us the heart to keep wanting to come and to come and to come before his presence? I would say the biggest fear that I have in life is that my heart wouldn't want to seek him anymore. Life without God is not worth living. It's vain, it's fruitless, it's empty. The one thing I don't want to have happen is to have a heart that is not driven toward God. Because I know everything in life blows apart when God is not in it. We toil in vain without Him. But with Him, there is life and there is blessing. Notice in Psalm chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Psalm 1. In verse 1. Psalm 1 is a chapter, is really a good introduction to the whole book of Psalms. It really sets the tone for what you learn in all of these songs that God gives. But notice this, what it says. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man. And that word blessed, it just means like blessings. Just huge blessings from God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So then who is blessed? But he whose delight is in the law of the Lord and in His law meditates day and night. Do you treasure what's in this word to teach you and guide you in the path that we need to go? If you want blessing, then part of it is saying, I got to know what this says. Whatever it is you're facing in life and you're saying, I need your blessing, God, in this area, that's the one you want to start studying and seeking out. Whether it's your employment, whether it's parenting, whether it's your marriage, whatever it is, seek out what God says about that subject. It's all here for us to discover and find. And then read, ask God to bless you, and start walking in that way. Do you see, when you come to God and say, God, I've been living a life of debt. I've been spending money I don't have. And you then say, but God, you say, don't do that. So I'm going to get rid of living a debt lifestyle and I'm going to live the way you want. But now here's the thing, God, I'm so used to living that way. It's going to be hard for me to change. Bless me in following you. Now you can ask for blessing because you're repenting from one way to go to His way. Do you understand? So when you change to follow God, you now can ask for His blessing. Because you're not going to rob the bank, and you're not living in a way contrary to Him. You're saying, I want to follow you, and this is a way that I know you can bless because you told me to walk this way. But now I need you to back me up. I want to make myself loyal to you. I'm asking you to be loyal to me. Let me never be ashamed, David wrote, because I trust in Thee. Let me never be ashamed because I trust in Thee. To come to God and say, okay, I want to do what you want, but now bless me in it. Don't let it fall down. And what does it say? Verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So there's promise that when we turn our lives to God, He's going to bless us. The ungodly are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So cling to Him, because His way is a way which shall not perish. Now let's turn over to the book of Malachi. Malachi is a book that if you haven't read in a while, I would highly recommend it. Because Malachi is a book that could have just as well been written to the United States today as it was written to the people who were coming back in restoration of the worship of God. It's talking about a people that is going through the motions of obedience to God, but having no heart in it. They come before God to a service, and when they come to make offerings, they offer lame sacrifices that they know are lame, that they know are blind, and they want to push this off on God. Something that's not what He wanted. Something that has blemishes to it. And God sees it. It's a people that comes before Him and wants Him to be faithful, and yet they're living unfaithful. Not being living in faithfulness to the wives of their youth. They're committing adultery. They're giving their wives divorces when they should be honoring them and taking care of them and being their protector. And then these men who are rejecting their wives and not being a provider and a protector and a caregiver are coming to God and saying, you need to be providing for me. And God's saying, I don't even hear your prayer. You're asking me to do what you refuse to do. You see, even in 1 Peter, it says, guys, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the weaker vessel, that because she also is an heir of the grace of God, just like you are. And he says, so that your prayers be not hindered. Why? Why would God say that? Because in your life, if you're not living in a way that's faithful and honorable towards your own wife, how can you expect faith and honor toward from God toward you? See, to ask for the one and not do the other, it doesn't make sense. There's a way that leads to blessing, and there's a way that leads to cursing. And here in Malachi, God is speaking to a people saying, your heart isn't in this. You're not doing it. You're coming to me, but yet your lives are a mess. So notice what he says here. We're going to take one example, but there's many throughout the book of Malachi, whether it's about infidelity or not. But look at here in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And this is a common thing throughout Malachi. Whenever God makes a statement like that, they say, in what way? How have we done this? God says, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse because you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. So try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So God is saying, you're coming to me for blessing, you're asking me to pour out upon you, but what I asked you to do was to take of the blessing I give you and pour back to me. You're unwilling to do that. Because who does the tithe go for? God's messengers, right? Calling the weak, right? The gospel goes forward, right? Taking care of the widows and the orphans. Taking care of those in need. That's where the tithe really goes, right? It's to serve the needs of others. So if you are not willing to pay the tithe to serve the needs of others, God said, why are you coming to me? You're robbing me. And you rob him by not giving him your heart. Because does God need the money from you? No. No. God doesn't need the money from you. But God knows you need to give the money to him. And God knows you need to give the money to others. Because it's about what he's shaping and refining in you. The blessing comes when you give it. But when you don't, when you withhold from God, how can you expect to be blessed? You know, there's a commandment that says, 6 days you shall work and do all your labor, and the seventh day you shall rest, and in it you shall do no labor. Now, I know that command. That commandment was revealed to me when I was 15 years old. Now, what would it be if I, knowing that commandment and saying I want to give my life to God and cling to him, what would it be if I'm out trying to be successful financially and I'm out working on the Sabbath? What would God think about that? What would God say? Because I would have to be concluding that God couldn't bless me when I was obeying him. Right? God says, 6 days you shall work, the seventh day you rest. So if I'm out trying to work now the seventh day to make more, who am I rejecting? Who am I saying, I see, God, that you keep the Sabbath? Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So Jesus is keeping the Sabbath. He's not laboring. If I say, no, I want to go work, I'm coming over here again and saying, God bless me. God's saying, but I gave you the commandment. You need to come over here to where I am. This is the path of blessing. But if I'm off over here rejecting God and I'm saying, no, I need to work this day because I need to make money this day. This is the time I can do it. You're saying, I don't need your blessing, God. Your way isn't the right way for me because I see that if I work this day, I'll make more money. Let me ask you something. How many of you know anything about the economic history of the United States of America? Yes. Basically, if you look back at the United States, have we generally been a nation that has had surpluses? When you look back to, let's just do a counting of the early 20th century, 1900, was the country in a surplus state or was it in big financial trouble? The country is an amazing country that we live in. It's been blessed more than any country in the world in terms of natural resources. The GDP in this country is just unbelievable, over $14 trillion, right? But I want you to think about something. Has the economic state of our country from 1900, when there was actually no income tax, by the way, if you didn't know that, there was no income tax in 1900, has the economic state of the country in the last 100 years, has it gotten better or worse?
Worse.
Now let me ask you something. Generally speaking, was the Sabbath being kept in 1900 by those who were Christians? Does anybody know the answer to that? Yes. Did you know it was very common? Does anybody remember blue laws or sun-dry laws? You know what it said business had to be closed on Sundays. When I grew up, Sears and JCPenney's could not be opened on Sunday. Now, I don't look at Sunday as the Sabbath. It's the first day of the week. But let me tell you something. The people who were keeping Sunday, they were honoring God in what they were doing. God has a way of looking at the heart and saying, I can honor that. I can bless that. Because they are honoring the Sabbath. They might have had the wrong day, but there is still something honorable in giving one in seven to God. So, what happened over time? People said, hey, we don't need to do this anymore. As they stop keeping the Sabbath and start rejecting God, has the nation become more economically blessed or more in debt? Who gave us the nation? Who gave us the land? Who gave us the blessing? And what is happening to it? It's becoming a curse. Now, think about this. People are working longer and harder now than they ever have. They're not taking a day of rest for God. And the blessings, we're in big trouble. I just want you to think about this. When I started keeping the Sabbath at 15, I was working every Saturday. Saturday was a day of work for me. And you know what? I was nervous about not doing that anymore. But God has always seen me through. Tithing seems like it doesn't work. No matter how little Stephanie and I made, and going a whole year and not getting a paycheck, I never was without a meal or clothing or food or a place to sleep at night. God always provided. So when I speak this, I'm speaking from someone who knows what it is to repent and change, to obey God, and even though it doesn't seem to make sense logically, to know the blessing that comes from it. And I speak to you that way today. As one not only who can read the Word, but now I've been living this. And I see what God keeps doing in my life. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed and I'm amazed. And I know many of you listening are amazed and amazed. When you see God working in your life and doing things, you just can't believe the way He can bless when you stand in His way. When you're close to Him, it's like the blessings just come off of Him. And it's like you're like, God, I'm being way more blessed than I should be. I know that I am. But you can't help but be blessed when you're near Him and in His presence. And when you have that taste, when you experience that blessing, you don't want to be anywhere else. You don't want to leave it. You don't want to be outside of it. It scares me to go outside of His blessing. It scares me to walk away from Him. And it should be a healthy fear that we have. A good fear of the Lord. helps head you in to realize how important he is. But notice this, what he says in verse 10. So bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. God says, try me. Try me. Try me. He's basically saying, jump. Take a leap. See if I'll catch you. See if I'll uphold you. See if I will bless you. You know, when you go with your kids to the pool when they're little and you want to teach them how to jump in, it's a very scary thing when the little kid stands on the side of a pool and they look at the water to jump in. Now, some of you have wild kids and they just run right in, right? You're just like, no stopping that kid. Stop! You know, that was Jack. He didn't really seem to acknowledge the fear factor in that. But the other kids kind of did. And you come to the edge of the pool and you know the first way to get them to jump in is you've got to be there. And it's all a relationship of trust at that moment, right? Do they trust you enough to jump? And that you'll catch them when they do it. God is saying, trust me enough to obey me. So he says, try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing. Now that's a principle that you can apply to all his instruction. So when you want the blessing of God in an area of your life, look for all the instruction. Try to understand what God says in total, not just a part of it. Because maybe you're doing one part, but not another part. And you're saying, hey, I need your blessing, God. But you're off doing something that is not blessable for God. So seek out the way of blessing that God would have you to go in. Because we do not want to live in a way that's cursed. Now, I want you to turn over with me to 2 Chronicles 16:9. Second Chronicles 16:9, God says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That should be a verse that you think about all the time. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Don't you love that? That God is looking to bless you? That God is looking to show himself strong? That God is looking to back you up? That God is looking to be with you? And he's saying, if your heart's loyal to me, to pursue me and seek me out, I'm looking to show myself in your life. You know, sometimes we can limit ourselves by taking a course of action that we see and not seeing, no, actually, God says, I wanted to do something bigger. It goes bigger and farther than that. You are more than you think you are. And when God calls you, basically the message is, you're more than you think you are. You were destined for more. Don't be held back by the sins of this world and the cursing of your parents and even the cursing of your own fleshly desires. But seek the blessing of God. To follow him, to walk in his ways, and to know that he'll back you up. Now let's turn over to Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalms 34, verse 8. And we're going to look at a few verses here in Psalms rather quickly. Psalm 34, verse 8. God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So do you want to be blessed? Begin tasting and seeing. Do you understand? Here's the good word. Start living it. Taste it. Test it. See what God will do. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. It's more than just obeying a rule. What you're saying when you start to obey God, when you look in his word to walk in his ways, what you really should be saying with your heart is, I love you, I trust you, and I cling to you. And to try to have a life anywhere outside of your ways is not a life I want. And when you give your trust to God, he is a very careful handler of your life. He handles it very carefully, and he knows what to do at the right time. You know, when you look at the life of Job and what Job went through, God did it in his way at the right time in order that he could bless him double at the end. But he did it his way. And what he was really doing was not about all the physical things Job had. It was about the transformation of his life. That's why Job could say, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Because in the moments when he didn't have, and in the moments even when his wife said, "Curse God and die," he would say, "No, I trust him. I love him. I cling to him. He is my blessing in my life. And if God wants to work out something where you're not receiving it, it's good." Again, Abraham, 25 years he's waiting for this child to come. 25 years from the promise to the time of deliverance, he's waiting. Why did God tell him to make him wait? Because he knew telling him would create a journey of patience and waiting on God that God could work something through. Why did he take it from Job? Because he knew that patience and that going through that process would work out something better in the end. Give your life to God. Trust in his ways and trust that he will be careful with you to do you good in the end. Psalm 40, verse 4. Psalm 40, verse 4. "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." A lot of people will tell you what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Don't listen to man's voice if it's contrary to this. It'll turn you away to lies that God can't bless. God can't bless what's a lie. Psalm, he won't. Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 1. "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Again, do you hear the passion in this? Of what David is speaking, what God is inspiring here. "Even the sparrow has found a home, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah." The man who is blessed dwells in the house of God. The man who is blessed says, that's the best place to be. And any life that doesn't keep me in the place with God is not a place I want to be. I have to be with God. "So blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Or in other words, he's set on going in the journey that you have laid for him. God wants you to see yourself as a pilgrim, as a follower of his ways. And when your heart is set on following God, that's where your strength comes from. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And you see in that, you are assured of blessing. That you will be blessed with spiritual blessings, physical blessings, emotional blessings, creative blessings, gifts, whatever you need. God says he doesn't want to withhold anything good from you. He wants to give it to you. So walk in his ways. Verse 12, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." The whole walk and way is being a person who will trust in God. But at the heart of it is a heart that we have with passion for God to understand that we can't be outside of his presence. He is our house. He is where we live. He is where blessing is found. He is where life is found. He is where peace is found. He is where satisfaction is found. And the lies of this world say, I can be happy and blessed outside of God. But Psalm 1 says, blessed and happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, or stand in the congregation of the wicked. This world will continue to put lies before us that will deceive us into thinking we will be happy and blessed if we do this or this or this, contrary to God. You have to know this, and you have to see it for what it is, and you have to choose blessing. Don't go with your own human reason. Go with the counsel of God. Make this first in your life, in the way that you live, and go in the way that God has ordained. If there is any counsel outside of this, realize you step away from clinging to God to hold fast to the world, to embrace a way that leads to destruction. But when it is according to God's way, He says, I want you to know that if you will walk in my ways and keep in my paths, I'm not going to withhold good from you. I want to give it to you. God yearns to bless you. God yearns to lift you up. And if you are going through a trial, I want you to know that in whatever heartache you're facing, in whatever battle you're facing, whether it's against sin or just the things in this world, or you know, financial battles, or battles in relationships that you're having, don't forsake God to try to solve it yourself. Run to Him. Turn your heart to Him. Lay it all before Him, that your heart would say, God, I will be loyal to You, and I will seek a blessing from You and from no other god of this world. Because in You I live, and I move, and I have my being. And to step outside of Your plan or Your commandments or Your ways, I reject. I reject it as false, and I trust in You with my heart. And no matter what I face, whether You give or whether You take away, I will stand with You always, my beloved God. Because Your ways work. You are love. You are awesome. And I want life with You forever. There is nothing of this world that compares to the glory that is in our God. And there is nothing that can be compared to His blessing. For when His blessing comes, He says He also rebukes the devourer. He rebukes those who take it away. And He looks to give us what is good, what is right, and what is pure, that will bring us to the day when we will stand before Him face to face, and He will say, well done, my faithful and good servant. You have been faithful in little. You will also be faithful in much. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is ultimately where we are headed, friends. Never forget what we're seeking here. Never forget the blessings that we're wanting here. And trust in Him through all the circumstances of life to see the way He will bless you in all His many ways.